reading to you from the sixth chapter of Hebrews and with the fourth verse. For in the case of those who have once been enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gifts and have been made partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, and then have fallen away, it is impossible to renew them again to repentance, since they have crucified to themselves the Son of God and put him to open shame. Good evening, my dearest and friends. Again, this evangelist, Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic. I gave my heart to Christ over 51 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. And then 1 year later, God called me to preach. And, of course, I've been trying to preach ever since. Tonight, I hope that you'll just kick off your slippers, sit back and relax, and pour you a glass of iced tea and a cup of coffee. I think we have something to say tonight that would will help you to see that every born-again person has a responsibility to God. Oh, I know a lot of people think the only responsibility they have is going to church on Sunday morning and prayer meeting on Wednesday night, and that's the end of their Christianity till the next Sunday. Well, beloved, if that's the way you believe, you're in for a rude awakening, because God has a lot more for us to do than just sit in a church pew. Well, let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? If you have your Bibles, will you turn with me to 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, and with the 16th verse. So as to preach the gospel even to the regions beyond you, and not to boast in what has been accomplished in the sphere of another. I'd like to speak tonight about the regions beyond. You know, if you study the Bible, and you study about Apostle Paul, you will see one of the greatest, greatest men ever put on this earth beside our Savior. This man was sold out. He was dedicated. And his Christianity wasn't just on his lips. It was within his heart. Now, Paul shares his heart's desire. He gives these Corinthian saints a look inside of his heart. He lets them know what motivates him to keep pressing on. The greatest missionary wants to extend his borders, and he wants to break new grounds for Jesus. He longs to preach the gospel in the regions beyond. You know, one time Paul was in prayer, and in a vision he saw a man with outstretched arms, a man from Macedonia, and he said, Paul, come and help us. Dear friends, I want you to know what Paul did. He did not go to the home mission board. He didn't go anywhere. He didn't go out and say, hey, I got to have some money so I can go preach. He didn't do that. The Bible said immediately Paul went down and caught a ship and went to Macedonia. You know, friends, that's the kind of preachers God's looking for today, or kind of Christians. And I'm not putting myself, believe me, I'm not putting myself in company with Apostle Paul. But I remember one time I was in a roofing business here in Colorado. And it was cold and it was winter, and boy, it's hard to roof in the winter. But anyway, I was sitting in my office and I'd been reading the Bible and praying. And it was just as real could be, that I was supposed to go to Hawaii. I mean, I didn't have no instructions. I am supposed to go to Hawaii. Well, I told my sons who were working for me, my daughters who were working for me, I said, your mother and I have to go to Hawaii. Oh, sure, Dad, I know. It's 20 below zero here. I know you have to go to Hawaii. No, 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 boys, I said, I'm called to go to Hawaii. I do not know why. I got on the phone and I called Virginia to Dr. Douglas White. He's the man that wrote the book about my life, Go Mo Go. I said, Dr. White, I said, I got instructions to go to Hawaii. Oh, praise the Lord, Cecil. I said, oh? Yes, he said, here's a phone number. I want you to call Dr. So-and-so at the Baptist school there and tell him that I had you call. So I said, thank you very much, Dr. White. And I got right on the phone and I called Hawaii to Dr. I can't think of his name now. And I told him, I said, I've got instructions this morning that I'm supposed to come over there to Hawaii. He said, oh, praise the Lord, Cecil. He said, I've got you several speaking engagements right here in our high school to our young people. Did you know, friends, my wife and I was there 2 weeks, and I spoke 14 to 18 times while we were there. Yes, God had me to go there. He gave me a message, and I tell you, speaking to those young people was a joy and a delight. When I was a director of the rescue mission in Grand Forks, North Dakota, I spoke at those high schools all the time. And one day I spent a whole day there speaking on the grounds. Our young people need help. They need direction. And friends, listen, if you're a Christian tonight, you say you've been born again and your sins have been washed in the blood. You cannot sit there and say, well, Cecil, that's for preachers. I'm not a preacher. Listen, I know laymen, some laymen that would put us preachers to shame. That's correct. They know what God wanted them to do, so they went out and they shared their testimony. I used to train laymen, and we had my motorhome, and we'd take off for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And I'd take their husband and their wives, about seven of us in the families, and we'd go to these churches, and we'd hold a lay-led revival. I'm telling you, we'd led many, many wonderful souls to Christ. We encouraged the churches. We encouraged the pastors so that they saw that, wait a minute, this is New Testament. This is the way we're supposed to do it. Hey, listen, friends, in Paul's day, they did not have television, radio, airplanes, buses. All they had was ship power, donkey power, and foot power. But they turned this world literally upside down for the cause of Christ. Consider these questions about Paul's great desire. Why did Paul go to the regions beyond? Well, he was convinced of the lost condition of all people. You know, the Bible said in Romans 3:23, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. A lot of people just can't get that. My poor dear wife couldn't understand. She sure didn't think she was a sinner. But the Bible said we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Paul knew that. And he said, I've got to go out and tell these people what the Lord has told me. Well, Paul placed no limits on his responsibility for the outreach. Now, I've said this a million times, I'll say it another million times, that when Paul ran out of money, and he surely did many, many times, he was a tent maker. He'd go down, he'd buy some tent material, and he'd get his sailcloth needle out, and he'd make these tents, he'd sell them, he'd take the money, and he would go preach the gospel. If the preachers in America had to do that today, there would be no more preaching. Beloved, listen, I believe in paying a preacher a salary. Yes, I do. I believe in that. If he's worth his salt, he needs to have a salary. But there's too many people today coming to Colorado, these preachers that come here, and what they want to know, how far is the ski slopes from their church? How many days vacation, paid vacation do they get? Do they get a trip to the Holy Land? Listen, beloved, those people do not care one whit about the souls of men. And that is why I feel I'm so grateful to God for calling me to be an evangelist. I am not a pastor. I tried to pastor a church, three churches. I did my best, but I was not a pastor. I'm an evangelist. You say, well, yeah, but evangelists, they come in and they stir up a church and they go. That's what they're supposed to do. They're supposed to tell people about their sinful lives. Did you know when Paul went there to Corinth and this guy was living with his mother-in-law and he said, you people are not even upset about it. Why, he said, you're doing things that the people of the world don't even do. We need to preach out against sin. And it's sin. It's just like with our homosexuality. And they're so proud of their sexual preference that they parade up and down streets all over America, all over the world. Say, we are gay and we're proud. Well, they're not gay. They're not proud. They're not be happy gay. Oh, beloved, listen to me. And now they're teaching this to our first grade, second grade, third grade people about homosexuality. Do you realize that sooner or later God's going to have to destroy America just like he did Sodom and Gomorrah? Don't you realize that? It's coming. The nation that forgets God shall surely perish. And America is on the downshot. I love this country. But I don't want to see our country destroyed. You know what? Paul said he felt responsible to reach lost souls everywhere in Romans 1:14. I am under obligation both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. You know what that could mean? That could mean some of our college professor and alcoholics. Oh, friends, have you been reading in the paper about our professor here in Colorado? He's a despicable, despicable person. He don't even like our country. He's a liar, and they still pay him $100,000 a year. Oh, well, it'll come out someday. You know, Mr. Moody used to witness to at least one lost person daily. I wonder, friends, do you really, and now listen to me, I'm not trying to make you feel bad, but do you ever sit there in your home or when you're in prayer or reading your Bible thinking about some lost person that you could be a witness to? Did you know, beloved, that someone's watching your life today if you're a Christian? Somebody is watching your life today. You're the only Bible that some people will ever read. Have you ever thought about how terrible a hell, a burning hell is? The rich man that dies, he went into hell and he was in torment in those flames. Friends, it is a terrible, terrible, terrible place. God wants you and I to feel the heat of hell. There's just too many people who claim to know Jesus who do not really, honestly believe in a burning hell. But, oh, beloved, there is such a place. Jesus spent much more time warning people about hell than he did talking about heaven. That's right. Consider Paul's carrying questions. How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach unless they be sent? Friends, I will say one thing about my denomination. I'm not going to tell you what denomination I belong to because that's not important. But we had a cooperative program. Every church donated to that cooperative program. Instead of a missionary having to go to church to beg for money for two or three years, deposition for two or three years, their money is there. And if they're qualified and they feel a call to Africa or wherever, we had the money to support them. I believe in that. But other denominations said, oh, that's not right. Well, listen, some churches I know for a fact bless them, they have two or three missionaries on their program that they give to. But that's only two or three. With our cooperative program, we gave to millions. We gave to hundreds of people that go into the world. But listen, Paul wanted to go. And if we Christians don't tithe our money, how in the world are we going to send people overseas? Now you say, Cecil, you sure come from the old school. You really, really come from the old school. Yes, I did. Yes, I do. I believe that 10% of everything you and I have belongs to God. He let us have it. If you take it, you're stealing it from God, and there's a curse upon you. Take it or leave it. That's what the Bible says. Well, Paul's driving desire was to reach those that never heard. You know, in our church, we have our little cliques, and we have our little, you know, when we have our little parties, and we have our little dinners, and there's those who have nicer clothes, and others don't have very nice clothes, and you know, it's a sick club sometimes. Not all churches fall in that category, of course not, but there's sure a lot of them who do. Well, why did Paul want to tell those in the regions beyond? Well, first of all, he longed to tell them of God's love for sinners in Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I've had people say, well, I got news for you. My sin is not on Jesus. Oh, yes, they were. Oh, yes, they are. Every one of us who committed sin, and we all committed sin. Jesus took all those sins upon himself to pay for your salvation. And he shed his precious young blood, and he loved us so much. Well, that's a revolutionary message. God's love moves one from religion to a relationship with God. See, religion is just a man-made thing. Salvation comes from God. God's love extends grace to guilty people deserving hell. When I was an alcoholic, I knew in my heart that I was wrong. I was sorry that I was doing what I did, but I couldn't do anything about it. I was just bound. I remember in Portland, Oregon, I was in a bar, and I'm not proud of this, but I was in Portland, Oregon, and a little gal, Salvation Army gal, come in with a little tambourine, shaking it in front of the drunks, getting money. Not once did they give us a gospel tract. Not once did they tell us about Jesus. They were interested in one thing, money. Listen, I have spoken Salvation Armies all over the country, and they get lots and lots of money from the federal government, so they don't preach much. They say they preach the gospel. I know them, and they don't preach the gospel like they should. But Paul longed to give lost people the gospel, and that's what we're supposed to do. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Now listen, Christ was buried according to the Scripture, just like they said he would. Christ rose again according to the Scriptures, like the Bible said he would. This message is authenticated by the Word of God. Like Paul, we ought to have a motivating passion to tell the good news to sinners. Well, we have it, but do we use it? Where do the regions beyond begin? Well, the regions beyond begin just beyond the present area of witness. They begin just beyond yours and my front door. They begin just beyond the church's door. You know what? One time I was going to a big church down in Georgia. And the Sunday school teacher, he was up there just a ranting and a raving. We've got to go out and we've got to win souls. We got to do this. We want to do that. I just got up, closed my Bible, walked out, got in my car, drove out three blocks and went to a home of an alcoholic and his wife and led them both to Christ. And he jumped all over me for leaving his class that day. I said, well, you don't practice what you preach. That's the difference. You were telling them what we should do, but you don't do it. I said, I tried to do it, and you're mad at me. Well, that's okay. I don't care. Paul wanted to go on any place he had ever gone before. I wonder how many in the mission fields you have ventured to. Let me ask you, friends, how far are you willing to go? Are you willing to break out of your comfort zone? And friends, that, I'm afraid, is most of our churches are our comfort zone. You want to go in there and sit down in these comfortable pews, nice padded pews, hear a beautiful organ and a beautiful choir, and you want to sit there and listen to the preacher tell about what's happening then in Africa and other parts of the world. But let me ask you, are you willing to have God increase your outreach? Are you willing to go to the regions beyond? Friends, listen, I can't cast the first stone, but I tell you, I have tried to follow the Lord's leadership. And many, many times I've had the privilege of introducing souls to Christ. Now, that's not brag, that's fact. He'll do it for you. He'll do it for any blood-bought child of the King. He'll give you instructions. He'll lead you. Are you listening to what he says? Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, he says, to every living creature, the black, the white, the brown, the yellow, the poor, the rich, the maimed. God is no respecter of persons. The Mexicans, when I was down in Mexico for 2 weeks down in Acapulco taking treatments, I witnessed to those people every day. They have their religion, and they're not interested in what we had to say. Their church told them what to believe. They're not told to read the Bible. And many of them can't read and write. Well, friends, let me ask you this tonight. Are you satisfied with your life? Are you satisfied with your Christian life? Or are you trying to do something? You know, beloved, you and I are going to have to stand before God and give an account for our lives. I have to stand before God and tell him what I've preached. I don't preach religion, I preach Christ. If you want your sins forgiven, you have to come to Jesus. You can't circumvent Jesus and get to heaven. You can't do it. You have to come to Jesus to get to the Father. That's what he said. Well, beloved, listen, I tell you what, tonight, if you're lost, I want you to bow your head right now and say, oh God, I realize that my life is so miserable. I have no peace. I have no direction for my life. Lord, I'd like to have you forgive me and take control of my life. Oh, Father, that's my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're a born-again believer and you haven't been doing what God wants you to do, why don't you say, Lord, take me by the hand and lead me. Oh, I don't want to be despicable. I really want my life to count for Jesus. In his precious name, amen. Listen, if you just trusted Christ tonight, won't you get on the phone and call 303-471-8534. That's 303-471-8534. I won't use your name on the air. I won't embarrass you. I won't sit down and write and ask you for any money. Beloved, I don't care where you go to church. All I'm concerned is where you spend eternity. I'm waiting for your call, 303-471-8534.
Learning to lean, I'm learning. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. The joy I can't explain fills my soul since the day I made Jesus my King.
Friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. Oh, dear friends, please take this message to heart. Oh, God's got so much to do for you and me. I know our health is not like it ought to be and all that. But, oh, dear friends, I'm using everything I got because I just want to see souls saved. That's why I love to go to prison. We see souls saved every surface, sometimes as high as 10 to 15. That's why God put me there, because He knows that's where I'm the happiest. I'm not happy when I'm not seeing people saved. Well, friends, until this time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbor. Stay sweet. Keep looking up, for this precious, wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.